Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's football legend Jamie Redknapp for new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins footwear.
Imagine playing football against no defence or goalkeeper. How easy would that be? That's what it's like putting on my new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. There's nothing stopping my foot from just going in. I just step in and I'm done, with no bending down to touch my shoes. So how do Skechers Slip-ins work? It's like they have an invisible built-in shoehorn, so my foot slides into place. Then the heel pillow technology keeps my foot comfy and secure.
Find Skechers Slip-ins at a Skechers store or skechers.co.uk.
This episode of the Long Run Podcast is sponsored by Skechers.
Good evening, world, and welcome to the biggest YouTube running channel in the galaxy. This is the largest, most popular podcast in the galaxy ever. I think I built it up quite big there, didn't I, boys? Anyway, how's everybody doing? Welcome. We're going to entertain the nation for the next 2 hours. We're going to do a two-hour special tonight. Look at their faces. Imagine if we did 2 hours. What would you do? You'd probably
obviously
die. Fall asleep, yeah. Anyway, we're not here for 2 hours. We're here for 60 minutes. And we're going to entertain and bring knowledge to all of you. Because all of you, well, not all of you, maybe some of you want to get faster. And tonight we're going to be talking about how to run faster. Because we've got a man fresh from the London Marathon who almost won it. Because there wasn't anyone that much faster than him. He's down there. Look, Michael's down there. Good evening, Michael. Welcome, you Long Run Show virgin.
Yeah, definitely.
We've also got, unfortunately tonight, Hayden's with us and Ben's there as well. But Ben, serious question, are you going to be all right? Because I know you've got a habit of falling off chairs at the moment. Are you going to be all right on that chair?
Let's see how we go on, right?
Okay. We'll come on to why Ben doesn't really tend to stay seated much. So yes, packed show tonight. We're going to help you all get faster. Well, I'm not, Michael is. And we're going to do, and he doesn't know this because I didn't tell him, we're going to be doing the lightning round. We're going to be doing true or false. And we've got some loads of awesome other stuff coming your way. But before we do all that, we want to welcome our live audience, okay, to this extravaganza that's going to happen tonight. Yeah, because we are unique in the fact that we record this live. So anything could happen. Buds could start barking. Daisy could walk in. I don't know. Hayden falls asleep. That's actually quite possible because he's so old. But anything could happen because we record it live. And we want you to get involved in the live stream comment box thing down the side. You'll already see that people are saying good evening and hello, boys, and all this sort of stuff. So I want you to get your questions in now for Michael and ask him how he runs so fast, okay? Any questions in terms of running faster, if that's what you're interested in, get them in. If you've got a question about something else, again, we don't care, get them in. If you want to know how Ben managed to fall off a chair and injure himself, put that in there as well. So just get What are you laughing? Get it in the comments is my point, because we are live. We're here for 60 odd minutes and we're going to be talking about getting faster and stuff like that. So before I do that, we've got admin. We've got to give a big shout out to our friends at Skechers. Thank you very much to Skechers for sponsoring this podcast episode. Get over to skechers.co.uk and smash your life out of that. You can crack on with that. Also, I want to give our friends at Start Fitness a bit of a shout out. Use the code 40Runs. You're going to get 10% off and you're going to get some free socks. You're welcome. Also, we found, was it last week, there was a code for Kendall Mint that I found live on it. Can anyone remember? Oh, I remember what it is. The code's 40Runs. You're going to get some money off Kendall Mint if you go use that code. Hayden, we've got any other codes we can give out? Shoe socks. Ben, what's that one? 40Runs 15 or something? 40-15?
Yeah, 40Runs again, I think
was it 40Runs or 40-15? Anyway, try it. Just see what that is. We've got some big announcements coming soon. Can't tell you any more than that. But we've been busy working for you on your behalf. So all you members of the 40Runs Running Club, and it's free to join, by the way. We've got some big stuff coming that you wouldn't be getting at other running clubs that you have to pay for. So I'll just put that out there. They're coming your way real soon, and that's going to enhance your experience as the everyday runner. See what I did there, Hayden? Hayden, we've got some new satellite groups starting. What are they?
We have at the moment. We're looking for people to join us in Carlisle, in Bath, in Ashford, in Hull. Where else are we going? There's just so many all the time. I keep losing count. And you keep asking me and catching me on the spot, and I'm thinking...
Southampton.
Portsmouth. Did you mention Bradford?
I didn't mention Bradford.
I'm looking for a run leader in Bradford. Get in touch.
That's meant to be a secret. And just let it out and told by a million people. Cheers, man.
Yeah, but they don't know why.
Right.
So that's all right. So that stuff. Keep an eye on. I'm hoping we can amount something next week. But I'm waiting for the all clear on a couple of things. So make sure you're on the news, not newsletter, the mailing list thing. And you'll hear about all that first. So again, last call. If you're joining us live now, thank you for joining us live. Get your comments, get your feedback. If you want to know, ask Michael a question. We're talking about how to run faster tonight. If you've got any insight, input, questions, whatever, get it in the comment box and we'll get through that at some point. Lastly, I want to give I was talking to someone about it. If you haven't seen on Instagram, and this is for everybody who listens to Bite Size on a Monday, right? We on a Bite Size, I do a live stream at 8 o'clock. And we basically geek out about running shoes and tech and stuff. I'll answer some coaching questions as well. But basically, we talk about running shoes. And what the shoe that we talk about the most is the Super Blast. Ben Felton, if you don't follow Ben Is Running, I think you should follow him because he's a friend of the channel. I think this is brilliant. He's put a post out, a picture, selfie, and he's got the new Super Blast 2 on, right? If you've done about the Super, if you follow the channel, you know we're big fans of Super Blast. But he's just got, I busted him big time. But he's got a picture, and I think he's done it deliberately. But if you look, he's got the Super Blast 2 on. ASICS have not sent me the shoe for anybody else because they don't like me anymore. Because we got into bed probably with Brooks, and that's why they don't like me. So that's up to them. I don't really care. But it shows you how fit all these brands are. But get over to Ben if you're interested in the Super Blast 2 and have a look. He's got them on his feet, the naughty little boy. I'm sure they're under embargo, but I think it's a hero move because he just don't care. And I think that's it. Right, so how are we doing? Michael, how are your legs after running London in about an hour?
I've been out twice since London. I went out Wednesday and went out this after work today. I like to give myself a week at definitely no running. And I've sort of just gone on to Wednesday until I felt like I wanted to. I didn't feel like I don't want to pressure myself. I just sort of went into Wednesday, went out for a run.
Okay.
Legs felt all right.
Okay. All right. We will get into that in your London Marathon adventure in a little while. Ben, how, in all seriousness, how is your back? Because if you didn't realise, Ben was out and was on a table doing tequila shots. They told him to get off the table. And then so he stood on a chair and then he fell off that chair. True or false? False or true?
Let's just say true. It's easier, right? It's vaguely true, apart from the table bit. The back's not... I went to see the Wizard yesterday.
Yeah. If you don't know that, that's Monica, the osteo. And we did a recent episode. Check that out, about injury prevention. Make sure you go and check that podcast out. But yeah, go on.
Yeah, so went to see her yesterday. I mean, spent more of the time talking about you than me, obviously. But yeah, got a little bit of treatment. I did ask the question of could I run. I've seen Mark asking if I'm up in Birmingham on Sunday. I am. I'm not going to win it. I'm not going for 125, despite what someone on this pod might have told you.
I spoke to Monica and she said there's no reason why you can't run 125 on Sunday. Me and Hayden had a conference call with her earlier. I know you're not allowed to talk about patient information, but we don't care. We rang her and had a conference call with her, and she said you could easily run 120. Michael, do you think you could run 125 on Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Let us know in the comments if you think Ben can run 125 on Sunday. What are you laughing at?
I mean, I'm not going to go for peer pressure on this one. But yeah, exactly. I did say to her, can I run? And she went, yes. And I went, damn it. She's like, well, if you want to use me as an excuse, you can. And I was like, you've kind of
that's our ringer.
Exactly right.
Right, confidence goes out the window when I know you're osteo.
Yeah. Like... So I am running on Sunday, but let's see.
125. Hayden, what are you up to?
What, this weekend?
Or just in general, really?
In general, a little bit, same as a lot of people at the moment. Not lost, lost the wrong words, but in that sort of down period of time. I've got a marathon in end of September, so that plan doesn't start till mid-June. So from now till mid-June, I've got a big bike ride coming up. That I'm sort of
we ain't talking about biking on here. Not when we've got this superstar on.
So, we can get into that later on. So Michael is a big, big bike fan. But still, I'm training at the moment. So alongside my running, I'm sort of going out and doing the both of them together. But not doing much. I just got back from Madrid.
What was that like?
Absolutely brilliant. That rock and roll series had so many people comment and say to me, it's such a shame that they stopped it over here in the UK and Liverpool. Mm. Everyone loved it. It was a great event. We went out to Vegas earlier this year. That was part of it. That was great. And Madrid carried it on really, really good. Really hilly course and tough, but just packed. They had that. It was actual integrated with the Madrid full marathon as well. Mm. So I think they had 40,000 runners there. Brilliant atmosphere. And yeah, sun was out. It was a really great day. Really, really nice weekend away.
Okay. Right. Where do we start? I was just thinking, we've got quite Ben. If you keep an eye on the questions, because I was just having a quick scoop through, which is why I stopped listening to Hayden. I had total power circuit switch off. I was like, yeah, not interested.
That's standard.
So if you have a look through there, because we don't want to miss anything. Again, if you're joining us live, last shout out, get your questions in there. I think firstly, I want to find out how you got on at London, because Michael, the big. So actually, give me some context. So what I love about 40 Runs and the Running Club and everything is that we've got amazing people who are getting off the couch to get to 5K, or they're taking on their first marathon and they're like getting round in like 8 hours or 7.5 hours or whatever it is, right? And they're just amazing human beings. And then at the other end of the scale, which is so why we're so inclusive, we're going to got Michael here pretty much winning it in like, what was it, 2:31, bruv?
2:35.
Yeah. Just
slacking.
And the best thing about your post was, I wasn't feeling it. What did you actually say on your post?
I've been ill since the couple of days before, and since I can't get rid of this cough and cold.
It wasn't on top form.
No.
2:35. But my point is that the great thing about this whole madness that we've got at 40 Runs is that we've literally got every sort of runner covered. So you don't need to be coming into 40 Runs thinking, I'm too slow. Like the lady, that's a point. Drives me nuts. Listen to this, right? If you haven't seen me on Instagram today, Michael, I don't know if you saw this. There was a lady who contacted us. She's an absolute legend for having the courage to reach out. And she said that she contacted a couple of clubs in Sheffield, right? And they basically told her she was too slow. She ran, I might be getting it 100% wrong, but like a 120 10K. They told her she was too slow to come. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name them, but they probably know who they are. And if you know that club, you should leave that club now. To be able to turn around and say that to somebody, no, you're too slow, I think it's disgusting and they should be shut down. England Athletics, right, instead of worrying about doing their own thing and all this and, you know, wasting money on stupid things, they should be going to those clubs and saying, I'm sorry, that's not on. This is you should not be like that. It's unacceptable behaviour. It doesn't matter how fast you are, how slow you are, what distance you can run, what your background is, where you're from, how much money you've got, nothing. If you want to go along to a running club to take part... you doing that. I'm going to say that. I think it's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. What are you lot laughing at?
You said, your exact words were, if you want to go right to a running club, that's it. Yeah.
We thought we'd lost you.
You probably have. I've probably been shut down by England Athletics. Yeah. But it's true. Nobody should be told that they're too slow or too fat or too thin or too, I don't know, pink, whatever it is, and stop them coming into that running club. It's not right. It's not right at all. So I'm super proud in everything that we're doing in terms of bringing people together. So end of rant, end of rave. I'm gonna start on ASICs on Monday on the bite size. So if you want to come in on that one, I'm going to go two-footed on them on Monday. Listen to that one. And I'll finish now with all those clubs in the air. You can jog on. Right, anyway, you're all in.
Can I just pick up one comment, just in case it gets lost? And this is unbelievable. David Moore, good morning from New Zealand. He's just waiting for the Rotorua Marathon to start in a couple of hours' time.
What a legend.
Are you listening to the Long Run Podcast?
No, best thing is, Hayden, he's just sat there and listened to me go completely wild about something, and he's just thinking, fully shut up. I've got to go and run this marathon. What are you talking about? I've got no interest. It's brilliant, isn't it? Okay, right. Anyway, we're talking about how to get faster. I'm sorry about that, but that really upset me today. So, Michael, let's give some context and background. Did you come out of the womb running these sort of times, or are you someone like Ben Johnson, who's on Instagram, who's like worked really hard to get his times down, or like Ben, credit to Ben, you know, he within a year, because of my coaching, because I'm so good at it, he's like drops. It's true. Have you not? All right, let's ask. So your first marathon was what?
What was it? 3:42.
Who gave you? Who helped you with that? Me. Now, you just ran what in Manchester?
3:11.
You're welcome. So anyway, my point's proven. So, Michael, did you come out of the womb kicking and screaming in your alpha flies, or have you worked to get this hard?
I've got into running about 2016, 2017. Before that, I was always like growing up football. Then I got into cycling. I did that a lot for a while, and then I got like IT banned, and that's when I started running. Mm-hmm. Just as because like cycling hurt, running didn't. So I started getting into running. So just on the trails to begin with, around where I live, I didn't think I ever had a running watch. I was just running along the river to Dulverton and back, and then the first race I did was Exeter Great West, which is like the local big half for us. And I did that in I wrote it down somewhere, 1:45. And then did my first marathon in 2017, which was Madrid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's a hilly course. It was so hot. And I did that in 4:08.
Bloody hell.
So
4:08 down to 2:35 on a bad day.
Yeah. Last London, I did my PB, which was 2:30:12 or something. Yeah, it's hard work. It doesn't come easy. It's hard work.
That's the point, right? Okay, so let's move on. So how did you? Okay, so I think the fair thing to say is, right, you've obviously got a natural sporty background in terms of you play football, you've done your cycling and that sort of stuff. So you're coming from a good base, right? It's in your genes, let's say, like, because I think some people can. I know Chris, who I coach as well, right? He used to play football for years, like was like doing some reffing for like kids' matches and stuff like that. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'll give this running a go. First marathon, he goes and bashes out sub-4. I now just got him in a year. He's now just qualified for Boston, okay? He's obviously older than you. He's younger than Hayden, but most people are. But he's just qualified for Boston. But again, he like you, he was able to pick it up quite easy because he had that sort of natural engine. And then you obviously got other people who like me, again, that's not, I have to work hard to do it. I'm just not naturally sporty, I would say, in that respect. You know, don't get me wrong, I used to play football and do a bit of bits of bobs, but it's not something I always had to work harder at it than some of my mates. So you're one of them. You're Hayden, you're similar, I would say, Hayden, with your background.
Yeah, I played football for years. Football was a big thing. We spoke about this a few times with a few of our friends that play football. They always seem to have that aerobic base where you're going back, forward, start, stop. I think that gives you a real good grounding to start this whole running thing. And yeah, I've played football for years and years and done a lot of swimming as well. So running become, found running a little bit easier. Is everyone frozen?
I think it's just him.
Are we still there?
We're all still here. We're just waiting for you to come back.
No, it's weird. You know, I was just doing, after for whatever reason, the broadband's playing up. It's probably because I've just realised that I've actually not switched it over to the... to the proper thing.
It's just every time I talk, you just switch off and go quiet.
No, it's not that. It's what it is, yeah. It's, because I come on here so late, right? I come on here so late. I didn't even, because we usually switch over to what I would call it, the landline, but you know, like the normal network. I didn't bother doing that. I just realised I was on Wi-Fi, and Daisy's probably sitting there streaming the life out of Roblox. So what was you talking about?
We were just talking about the fact that playing any sort of sport, but I think football in particular, because you've got that explosive element, that start, stop for an hour and a half. I think that does give you a good base to push onto majority of sports, and running is quite a natural progression from that. Well, it's been proven with Chris, like you said, definitely helps, and Michael himself.
Yeah, so what did you do, Michael, in terms of, so you've done, let's say, 4 hours, right? How did you then go? What was the sort of next stage for you? What was your sort of next thinking?
I just ran more. I think I was at that beginning stage where you just get faster. Like the more you run, you sort of just pick it up a little bit. And I still to this day, I don't follow a plan. I just make it up as I go along, which probably is the worst sort of thing. But I can't follow a plan. I like just making it up. So. I've just been running, and I just
imagine if he was coach. I'm not being funny, but imagine if he was coach.
That's what everyone says. Everyone's like, "Oh, if you had a coach, if you followed the plan, if you had more than 3 hours sleep before a marathon, you would do a lot better."
It's mad, isn't it? But again, it goes back to that natural point. So, how do you you focused on? So, what you've said there is key, right? And for anybody listening. And Ben, all Jonas, so we're talking about you. And by the way, we're doing a pre-record with Ben in terms of his training. So how the difference is why he dropped that time in his marathons. We're pre-recording that, so that's going to come out, I think, on the 17th. But we spoke about it, Ben. It's that volume adjustment, isn't it? And I'm not telling everybody to go out next week and run 100 miles, by the way. But what you said there, Michael, is interesting, the fact that you increased your mileage and mileage or volume, as long as it's quality, does really have a big impact in your overall speed, right? And that's what you found is what you're saying.
Yeah, and I listen to a lot. I like the science, and I like reading stuff about running and training, and I like listening to stuff. So I picked things up and I sort of input that into my training.
Like what?
I like just the easy, like sounds so silly, but like just taking those easy days, like easy. And as I've got better at doing that as I've done it, and making sure that those faster sessions are as good as I can make them. Yeah. Hard.
What's your sort of, to give people a reference. So again, this is all relevant. Okay, people, it doesn't matter if you're running a 7 hour marathon or 2.5 hour marathon, but to give people a reference in the speeds and the differences, you just said you're easy. So where are you at in terms of easy pace? Where's that feel for you?
I do a lot of hills, so pace is irrelevant. I find a lot of time I go off effort. Everything I do is off effort.
Perfect.
So I don't really look at. Most of the running I do, most of the races I do, I don't look at my watch.
Yeah, so it's to feel. Right, so again, Give that people to context. So what Michael's saying is his reference point, and I think as runners you do need a reference point, whether that's power, effort, pace, or perceived effort, whatever you want to call it, heart rate, whatever it is, you need something to sort of have a measuring stick in terms of where you are, right? So you're saying effort. Now, how do you rate that? Do you do that, say, right, out of 10, going up this hill feels about a 3, or are you looking at it a different way?
Yeah. I just sort of, just hard to say. You just sort of, I go it by my breathing, how I'm like, just, yeah. I've done, been like you said, exercising for so long. I've just learned my body. Like, I know when I feel a bit rubbish. I know when I can sort of push. I guess if I was looking, if you wanted to pace, my easy pace would be anything 5 minutes plus kilometers. So,
And what's your marathon? What was 2:30 at Mount London?
That's, I don't know how I do it. It's like 3:30 something minute.
Yeah, but that's fine, right? Because that gives people, the reason I asked that, because it's easy for a lot of people to understand in terms of if you look at it in paces. I totally appreciate the running to feel perceived effort, by the way. It's a really good way. If you can get into that, it's a really good way of training. But to give people a reference point, which I think sometimes is easy to understand. So 5 minute kilometers. Yeah.
Yeah. Or slower.
Yeah. Which is what, Hayden? 8 minute miles?
Is that 8 minute miles? It's actually quite fun. When I first started running, I was having a look on Strava to see if there's anyone around me that I could maybe hook up with and do runs. And I remember seeing this guy running, and he was running my sort of pace. He's running like 5:30, 5:40 a kilometre. And I was thinking, if he's doing these longer runs, thinking, oh, he'd be good to like hook up with. And then he'd done this marathon. And I looked and saw his marathon. He ran 2:40 something at this marathon. And it just blew my mind. And I thought this bloke was my pace.
Which is his name, Chris Paul.
It's because he slowed his long runs down to such a slower speed. Like Michael said, we're talking 2 minutes, Michael's talking about there, to do his slower runs. And it's proven it does work, but it's so hard to do.
It is. It's true. It's like, it's effectively a minute and a half, right? And Ben, going back to you, right? So for Ben's Manchester training block, right? He was roughly easy pace around eight and a half minute miles, wouldn't you, Ben? Like on those easy stuff. And then he would go and drop it for 3 miles at 6.5 minutes per mile, right? Yeah. And try and hang on for that as much as you can. So again, it's that delta in terms of those, again, efforts, because you feel that effort's hard, yeah. And if you can put that into work, into play during your 16, 12 weeks or whatever you're working through, and you can then make sure that you, when it, you know, you're meant to be doing some of that easy aerobic building work, that you are super, super easy. Okay. So you're doing what you're meant to be doing. And then when it comes to that hard session, you are giving it full beans. Yeah. You are going 9, 10 out of 10 in terms of effort. Then that's where you start making the gains. You then layer into that mileage or volume. Then all of a sudden things start to work. Now as if you're working, let's say, more, I would say, on the endurance side, so more towards that half marathon distance. If you're going the other way and you're looking to do 5 and 10K times, you want to be doing a lot of speed work. Don't neglect, you know, the easy, you know, the slightly longer run as well, because that really does help, again, in terms of that threshold running. That will really, really help, right? But, Michael, in terms of focusing on those sort of 10K, 5K times, what do you switch around differently?
Probably just the intensity of the intervals I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So it'll be like just like less than 5 minutes or so for a set or rep, and then just do that a bit more often. That's generally what I'll try and do.
That's quite a good question, actually. How do you run to effort on like let's just take park runs, it's easier. I remember seeing you at park run. So when you run a park run, you don't run to effort with that, do you? Surely, if you want to give it a good, you just go full out.
You go as hard as you can. Sometimes you hold on, sometimes you don't. but I haven't. I know when I'm sort of at my limit, and I can sort of dial it back a bit.
That red line, that, and that's the key, right? I've said it to a few people that I coach. It's finding that red line. Right. And basically hitting it, knowing what that feels like and going, I don't really want to get there because I know I can't maintain that, whether you call it maximum velocity or whatever it is, because you won't be able to maintain it. Right. Maximum velocity is a little bit something different. But bottom line is when you start hitting that red line and it's further along than you think, because your brain goes, I don't like this anyway. You can jog on, mate. I ain't doing it. But you can go through that because that's the mental side of things. But you will reach a point in which you simply you can't breathe quick enough. Yeah. Your legs can't turn over quick enough. That's where you've hit that leg. So you just want to be a fraction under that for a full out effort is what you're saying, Michael, when you go for a 5K.
Yeah. And like what I've done better in this training block is just if I'm doing like a speed set, is that first one is slower than the rest of them. Like I make the mistake, I always make the mistake of going too hard, too fast on the first one, and then it gradually decreases in speed. This time I've been a bit more sensible and sort of gone in at a slower pace and then tried to build up, and it seems to work.
Yeah, it's good to find, it's to find where your limit is. You don't need to hit it first straight away. If you're doing a session, a high workout, sometimes it helps actually to sort of get uncomfortable, right? Mm. And understand what uncomfortable feels like, and then push on. Because if you go out too hard, you will wreck yourself for the whole session, and the 20, 25 minutes of whatever hard work you've got to do is going to be wrecked because the quality is low again because you've blown up at the start. Go at it. Go, okay, that felt uncomfortable, but it was probably actually only an 8 out of 10. Then go and find 9. Then go and find 10. And then try and hold that 10. And then you'll probably end up over the 5, 6, 7 reps, whatever you're doing. It'll probably come back a bit. But you will, at one point, you will hit that top end. And again, they're the sessions to focus on, but you can't max out in those sessions if you're actually ruined from doing a 13 miler where you've run too quick because it was meant to be easy, right, Michael?
Yeah, yeah. And I make up the sessions I'm doing sometimes in the warm up as I'm doing it. So I'll go out the door and I'm like, what do I want to do? And again, that's just learning, feeling my body. So I know, all right, feeling like I can do a longer reps today, or I can feel like I can do shorter. And it's dialing, knowing when to stop. Mm. Like when the workout isn't going to work, you just got to stop it. There's no point in pushing through it, and because you're not going to be able to then do the next day and the next workout. So it's understanding when to stop and listen to your body, and yeah, just...
In terms
I've got a question for you, Fordy, and you, Michael, as well. So if you are talking about training...
Because we're both the same speed.
Exactly that. Yeah. That's why I thought it'd be applicable. Mm. So I'm thinking, if you're training to effort, and that's what you're doing, do you, when you finish that training run to effort, do you then look back and analyse it, but analyse it at the pace, or you analyse it at your heart rate and stuff like that? Or do you look back and think, you know, I was doing that at 4 minute kilometre, that at 5 minute kilometre, or do you not bother with that at all?
I'll look, but there's so many variables. I find that the pace is again irrelevant. Like this winter, the wind has been horrendous, hasn't it? Like, so you can do one rep into a tailwind and you feel like God, and then you just turn around and you're just getting buffeted. The pace can be wildly different, but I know myself that the effort was just as hard. And I look at the pace. I like, what's it on Strava, like the gap pace? Because again, doing hills, that I find somewhat, it helps my ego a little bit. When your effort is low, effort is hard, but the pace is low, then you switch to the gap, you're like, oh yeah, it looks good. But I do look at the stats, but I don't put loads of emphasis on it.
Yeah, I would agree. If you're training to that effort, right, it's, the data's good, but you're not focusing in on the data. You're not using a data point or as a reference point. Yeah, it gives you an overview, but as Michael said, you're training to your body and mind, and it's very hard to put a number on that, to sort of really drill it down to a one or a zero binary. It's more, how do you feel? And he's absolutely right. Your effort up that hill on those repeats or the sprints, whatever you're doing up there, will change dramatically depending on, you know, how you're feeling. You could get the warm-up completely wrong, right? If you're going into a high effort and you've actually overcooked the warm-up,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Effort's going to feel a lot more on the heel repeats because you might have some lactic acid build-up, whatever, right? Because you've overcooked the warm-up, but you might undercook the warm-up. You haven't done enough to raise your heart rate to the right level to be optimal. And that feel that you're getting or that effort as you're doing those heel repeats is out. So if you then took that data and said, oh, actually, I was running up those hills at 5 minute kilometers and it was like, yeah, it could be irrelevant because your warm up could be absolutely useless. So again, it's very hard to pinpoint exact data on when you're running to perceived effort, I would say. It takes a lot of courage, I would say, to train like that. But it also comes from being experienced. And I think the more experience you get, the more running or training to feel becomes good and beneficial. And that's probably a lot. And you see a lot of look at a guy who Michael just lost out to, who came third at London. He didn't have a watch on. Yeah, he had some like Casio thing, done the whole thing to feel. Yeah. That, I think, makes Michael's point even more valid about running to feel. And I'm not recommending it, by the way, for everybody. As I said, I think learning to train to feel or to effort, perceived effort, is something that you would work on and learn and understand as you go. And yes, use the data points as you go, but it is definitely more down to that perceived effort, I would say. Ben, you look like you can say something.
Yeah, I was gonna I think that's the really good point, is Michael, from your perception, how has it literally your speed just kind of increased from you've put in more effort, that time?
Yeah, and it's, and even like through a training block, your pace does improve over that time. I've just got fast without paying any real attention to how I don't have time. Like, I don't go into a race with a target time. Like, people always ask, oh, what are you aiming for? What are you aiming for? I was like, I don't know. I don't care. like, the time is irrelevant to me. It doesn't, like, if I could go under 2:30, so it doesn't mean, who cares? Like, who cares I go under 2:30?
Such a hero.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing, right? It's that expectation. When you understand and know where you're at in terms of your running, actually, I'm with Michael on that front. I mean, it's a bit different, but in terms of I always say, some people mock me about the times, but it's not. For me, it is about that. Yeah. It is more about that effort. Like, how do I feel I did, like, in terms of my output based on my training? All right, I ended up with, 3:45 for my sake at London. That's probably about right. Because I didn't do enough speed work, but I knew that, right? So, but I ran with Hayden 3:30 marathon farmer, say up to 20 miles, which was the point, right? But again, it was that perceived effort. And I kind of knew, but again, the time was irrelevant apart from those last 100 meters where I had to get under 3:45, Hayden. But it wasn't the be all and end all. If it doesn't make any difference, but it was how I felt. Did I feel like I did a good job? Okay, yeah, that was harder. Bang, it was hard to this point, and this was the reasons why. And my training, if I change this, this will have a positive impact and will help me in terms of that feel. So that's where I totally agree, Michael, because the time always takes care of itself.
Yeah.
If you do what you're meant to do when you're out there, and if you do what you want to do in your training in terms of this effort thing, and it actually crosses over, and it doesn't matter what element or what metric you're using in terms of rating your training, whether you're training to pace, heart rate, power, whatever, it actually chucks out the same end result, to be perfectly honest with you, and it will correlate all the way through. But I think what he's saying, as somebody who runs exceptionally fast, I think if we took a little bit of that, it would benefit all of us. Agree, Hayden?
Yeah, no, absolutely agree. And out of all of them, probably the two easier runs to do, to feel, are going to be like your short 5K run, because you know you're just going to go all out till it hurts. And I suppose easy run. I really do think if you can conquer that easy run and literally just go out and you just know that it feels easy. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's massively beneficial.
Yeah,
I like listening to podcasts because
this one.
Yeah, I've been listening to this all the way through. If I'm listening to it, I'm slowing down. If I know if I'm going too fast, I'll zone out, and then I know I'm going too fast, so I know to dial myself back and then listen to what is being said.
Do you zone out when Hayden starts talking?
Oh yeah.
It's just hammered you.
That was too
brilliant. Yeah, that's brilliant. No, but Mark, again, it's absolutely right. If you're listening to this and thinking, right, okay, I need to get these easy runs tidied up. I ask all of you as a summer task, forget about the bit going faster, right? Try and work on your easy pace. Because if you can get that sorted, ready for whatever you're planning for the autumn, if you could go out there and lick along, nice and easy, and your proper R1-2 zones, or you know your powers at X, Y, and Z, whatever it is, and you can really, really drill in where that easy zone target pace effort whatever is. If you can nail it, when you then come in to add all the other stuff on, that will really benefit you. Really benefit. Make one run a week as like an educational run, and going, I'm really going to go and try and find this easy pace and understand it. And again, like Marcus says, listen to a podcast. You know, there's some really boring ones out there. I can give you the names of some. Right? What? No,
best not to.
Yeah, best not to. But there is, you know, listen to some slow music. I've always said it. Ring somebody up and talk to. I can give you Ben. What's your number again?
It's on Insta.
But ring somebody, have a conversation with somebody you haven't spoken to for a while. It's a great thing to do to catch up with people. And try and find that and just do it once a week and then understand where that was in terms of the metric that you're using. And then start to implement that. And then you can add that speed in that Michael's doing, which actually brings me on to. So heels, Michael, how often are you absolutely drilling the heel sessions?
Well, so I was going to jump in before you then. Do you know where he lives? All this living down in Somerset, Exeter, and being down on time. This is where all the fast buggers are, because honestly, it's so hilly. It has to help. It's got to be the reason.
Hills are good for you.
We need to move to Exeter.
They're all fast down there, all of them.
I've done it. This training block has been less for this London. I've done hills less. Before, I was running trails and hills. I was just living in a different place, so I was doing hills a lot more. And I had my little dog running with me, and she loved going on the trails and chasing the pheasants. So that was a lot of the fun. But I like today. You just like, you can't do hills that easy, regardless. It's always going to be harder than like just an easy run along the canal. And there's a bit of strength training in there, regardless of what pace you go up at. Up the mat.
Have we lost him again?
Maybe.
and Michael, with your sessions, I think Rob Hallam will probably do a couple of questions that we've got. So Rob Hallam asked, like, how many sessions do you go out a week, and what do they? I know you said you plan it as you go out and doing your warm up, but what do they roughly look like?
So I have a rough like idea of I do two speedier sessions in a week, and then like a long run with maybe speed in there as well. So before I was doing one, like a Tuesday session would be sort of shorter intervals, so like 5 minutes or less. And then a Thursday one would be 10 minutes or more, depending on how I'm feeling. And then a long run on the weekend would have, that would vary depending on how I feel. So I would do like either 5K efforts or 10K or half marathon length of time, but normally two fast sessions a week and then a long run with speed.
Okay,
we've got a brilliant question in from CK. Have you seen that there?
How important? What is it? Because I was going to come on to questions. I was going to play a game.
Okay, let's play the game.
I lost broadband because you might not have noticed. I think I got away with it. Did I get away with it, Ben?
I mean, I might have announced that you'd gone, but you got away with it.
Anyway, we'll worry about that. Virgin Media, if you want to sponsor this podcast, you can. Just make sure we get a good broadband on a Friday night. Right, here. Now, I want to do... We'll come on to the questions because I want to bring it out. Where is it? Michael, you ready for this?
Yeah, I forgot about this.
What do you mean you forgot? This is a hero move. Right, you ready? Get ready for the lightning round. It's an oldie but a goldie. Now, what I'm hoping, Michael, is that the broadband doesn't cut out while we do this because it's embarrassing. And then you'd just be stuck there on your own.
No one wants that.
No. So let's do it really quick. Okay. Lightning round. If you're new to lightning round, Michael's got to answer these questions very, very fast with one word answers. Kind of. Ready, Michael?
Yeah.
Favorite distance?
Marathon.
Half tights or shorts?
Half tights, but my girlfriend doesn't like me.
Commando or pants under those?
It depends again.
No, it's got to be one word.
Commando.
Hero. Vest or tea?
Tea.
Mallorca or Barbados?
Mallorca.
Favourite part?
Cycling. Minehead or Exmouth?
Red or brown sauce?
Neither.
Oh. Pre-race fuel?
Ooh, either peanut butter on toast or like a Huel drink.
Huel drink. One song for your playlist for your whole marathon, which is only about 2.5 hours.
Greta Van Fleet. Or Sacred to Fred.
Interesting choice. I would have gone for Take That. Or a day, last one, Day With Me or Hayden?
Or Hayden.
Oh! Is that because he's got a swimming pool?
I like Michael. He's a top bloke.
He says because he's got a swimming pool in his house. I've got an overgrown grass because Ben didn't cut it last week. right, what was the question, Hayden? Because I've got another game for him.
I've got a question from CK. I think it's brilliant questions. How important is the support of a running club to a faster runner?
Oh.
Michael, so,
I live not close enough to like a satellite club, like for 40. So I'm part of a global run crew and I've joined the start of this year. And that's been like so much fun. Just seeing what everyone else is doing, them supporting me, it's good motivation to sort of keep me going, keep me accountable more than anything else.
I think that's amazing. What a great advert for the Global Run Crew, you know. Absolutely. Again, if you don't know what that is, go to 40runs.com. It's free to join. Solo runners where there might not be one of our local groups, or you just don't have the time to get along to a satellite, whatever, or run club setup don't work for you, but you still want to be a part of something. Get over to the Global Run Crew. It's absolutely amazing. And I'll never forget, right, the first time I ever saw Michael, this is because we're going to play true or false in a minute. I think it was the year that London came back after COVID or something, or whatever it was. I can't remember. And I was up there filming it. No, I think I had COVID and I couldn't run it. There was a reason why I couldn't run it. It was the only year I've not run it for a while. And I was up there and I was waiting about, filming the elites and that lot. And then all of a sudden, this geezer run past in this 40 runs vest. I lost my mind. Like, I'm not joking. People around me, I think, were going to call the medics. I went nuts when Michael went past. He had this navy blue London top on. And he flew by. I was like, who the hell was that? It was like the elite, Michael. And it just blew my mind. I absolutely lost my mind. What about you, Hayden?
I actually had the same down in Exmouth. Went down to Exmouth Park Run. I was going, it's like out and back. And as we was going out one way, I was running fair pace. And this other guy was coming down, tearing down the other way, way ahead of these other people. And he had the 40 top on. I looked and went, that's Michael Sanderford. And just to finish it all off, I finished, went up to him, spoke to him, looked down, and he had this old beat up pair of Adidas trainers he'd wear to the gym, not even running shoes, I swear they were. And he'd just run like 16 and a half minutes and smashed his shows park you. Up. Just unbelievable.
You. So that's again, shows you people, was a 4 hour marathoner, 2.5, basically through volume, yeah, running to feel, understanding his own training needs, making sure he's running easy and doing those hard sessions hard. And being consistent, that's the key to this, is consistency, right, Michael? That's the name of the game. Yeah, there you go. So we don't talk complete nonsense on here. Right, Michael, are you ready for my other favourite, my second favourite game? It's called True or False.
Yeah.
I'll let the others play it, all right, because I'm a nice guy. And this is all related. I've got 10 things I'm going to ask you that may or may not help you in terms of speed training over the summer, okay? And you can only answer true or false. False or true. Okay, it's got to be one or the other. Ben, you love this game, didn't you?
It's a brilliant game.
look how motivated he is to play it. Okay, Michael. A proper warm-up will make you tired and you won't run as fast. True or false? False or true?
False.
Ben?
False.
Hayden?
False.
Correct. A good warm-up, people, will increase your heart rate and get you ready to go out there and perform. Do you like a good warm-up, Michael?
Yeah. I sort of nailed it a little bit, I think, over time.
And so what does a warm-up look like for you?
I'll do about 10 to 15 minutes with like 3 or 4 strides in it, and that seems to work for me.
Interesting. Okay, right. This one's, I think, pretty easy, but it's in there because it might catch some people out. I'm looking at it. Incorporating interval training in your week is good for speed, to increase your speed. True or false?
True.
Ben?
True.
Hayden?
True.
Correct. This is an interesting topic. Actually, we probably should talk about this if we've got time. Strength training can have a negative impact if working just solely on speed. True or false? False or true?
Oh, I'm going to go false.
Hayden?
I think I'm going to go true.
Oh, okay, right. Ben, what are you going to say?
I'm going false as well.
Okay, what are your reasons?
Who?
You.
You.
Because I think strength training will always be some benefit, whether it's speed or endurance. You'll give you explosiveness.
Okay. What's your reasons, Hayden?
I've changed my mind. I'm going to agree with Ben.
You've just ruined the game.
I know.
Michael, I can't remember now what you said. He's thrown me off.
Did you agree with Ben?
Yeah. Oh. Anyway, right, moving on.
Were we correct?
Oh. They are correct because these sprinters are always big, muscly blokes, aren't they? So there you go.
Yeah, basically, including strength exercise like squats, lunges, calf raises into your regime. Strengthening your leg muscles can enhance your speed and power. Okay, next up. Focusing on form will increase speed. True or false? False or true, Michael?
True.
Ben, because you've got the worst form in the world.
I'm going to go true on both counts.
Just hammered him. Aiden?
I'll go true.
That's brilliant. I just absolutely hammered him. Yes, pay attention to your running form, people. It's going to help. Right, okay. Michael, interesting thing. What's your cadence like? And do you look at it?
No, I didn't look at it. It's, I think, around 180 to 1. It goes up, as I go faster, it's about 190 or so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, improving cadence is good and will help you run faster. False or true, true, false, whatever one, Michael.
True.
Hayden?
Absolutely true.
Ben?
True.
Yeah. Improving your cadence, aim for a higher cadence. That would increase your running speed, basically. Shortening your stride and increasing your turnover rate can lead to faster times, people. So make sure you looked out. Okay, right. We kind of spoke about this. So this is actually, we answered this earlier, but it was in the thing that I wrote out. So you're going to listen to it anyway. because I spent hours doing this. Thanks, ChatGTP. hero move. Okay, you ready? Hill training is bad for speed work. True or false?
False.
Ben?
Absolutely false.
Hayden?
Absolutely false.
Correct. We talked about it earlier. Hill repeats into training. It's all good. Okay. Make sure you do that, people. And if you don't live in a hilly area, move. Preferably to Exeter. okay. Consistency is the key to running faster. True or false, Michael?
True.
Ben?
True.
What's your name? Oh, Hayden. I forgot I got bored.
It is the key to everything. So, yeah, true.
It is. Although, and it is, right? But you could, some people could argue, you know, just getting the couple of hill, you know, couple of sessions in a week with some gym work and stuff like that, you know, it you know, could have the same effect. I get what they're saying, but ultimately, consistency wins every day.
And if you're doing consistently bad workouts, so consistently really rubbish junk mile workout, then I suppose it would not increase your speed, even though you're being consistent.
I'm saying, there is an argument against, if you could run seven times a week, and but you're in zone three the whole way, you know what I mean? It's like, what's the point? You might as well just like lay down and get run over by a car. It's just no point. Okay, extreme. Maybe a bit strong. Right, next one. And Michael, it's good news, you only got two left. Okay. And it's actually quite interesting as well, actually. You don't need as many rest days when speed training. True or false?
False or true? False.
Hayden? I mean, Hayden has a lot of rest days because he's lazy. But yeah, go on.
I would say that is absolutely false.
Interesting. Ben?
I'd go false.
But only just. Why only just?
Because I think you'd need the same, like, if you're training consistently, you'd need the same amount, you need the same amount of rest. So
it's unanimous.
Yeah.
Allowing your body adequate rest between the time and the sessions is really, really important. And even if, like, some people may go out and do like an easy session, like you hear about it, recovery runs, right? Recovery runs are really powerful. Maybe do this is the other real extreme, but maybe do like a hard session in the morning, go out and do a recovery run in the evening to maximize the effort. That's a good way of doing it. Make sure that easy pace is super easy. It's a great way of doing it. But yeah, rest and recovery is key when speed training. I mean, when running in general, but because your high efforts are high, like they're really hard, so you need your body to recover. Okay, last one. I know you're having a lot of fun here, Michael, tonight. Probably too much. Nutrition and hydration are not important to people who are trying to get faster. False or true?
Absolutely false.
Hayden. Why are you laughing?
Because I'm tempted to go false, if I'm honest with you.
Oh, really? Why is that?
If you're going faster over a short distance, I say false. But if over a longer distance you want to go faster, then yeah, it's true.
Okay. Ben. I mean the worst person to ask, because he was out in the tub of Pringles. Fell off a chair.
Yeah, and I'm just eating a tub of Pringles tonight. Yeah, I think it is key. So I can't remember which way around the question was, but yeah, I wasn't really listening. True. I go with what Michael said.
Yeah, whatever Michael says, we do. He's the one who runs 2:30.
Exactly.
No, look, in a serious point, it doesn't. It shouldn't focus. It shouldn't matter so much on what distance you're at. Obviously, yes, you've got to fuel your runs and all that kind of stuff, but it's just as important, you know, after you've done a high effort to hydrate, to put the right stuff back in to your body and to fuel correctly in terms of your week and your nutrition. You're going to be hitting your immune system hard as well. You know, you are going to be pushing the envelope in terms of your operating window. So you need to make sure nutrition and hydration is on point. It doesn't matter what you're training for. Yes, it's probably less carbohydrate focused in terms of the carbs, you know, for those longer runs and all that sort of stuff. But it's really important to get that balance when doing any form of, you know.
Something I listened to the other day, they said being fast doesn't mean being healthy, because you see so many people overtrained and, yeah, it just leads spiraling down. So
it's a good point. We'll touch on that. But firstly, and most importantly, Michael, did you enjoy False or true, true or false?
The wording of some of your questions leaves a lot to be desired.
You can't have a go at me. You've got to have a go at the algorithm, the AI that wrote it.
Yeah, we'll blame that.
Yeah, I mean, this section is sponsored by ChatGPT. But, okay, that's a question for the audience. Do we need a theme tune for that part of the show? Hayden, true or false, do we need a theme tune?
Okay, true.
Ben, do we need a theme tune?
I think we need a theme tune and a picture of Hayden somewhere in
the... No more pictures of me.
Mark, would you like, for the next time you listen to this on your long run, would you like to have an intro for that section?
Yeah, and if you make a snazzy intro, I'll watch it as well.
We could go 80s. We've done an 80s one. We could go 70s. That's brilliant. I might do it now. While you carry on talking, I might do it now. Hashtag ADHD. Okay. So, right. That's what I was going to ask you. In terms of overtraining, right? That's the last way I want to finish it before we sort of wrap it up. There must be elements, because you see it, right? And this is not, please, I'm not picking on anybody here, okay? But you do see it from people who are in the public eye that I know of. Ben Parks, who I love, before you shoot me down. Some of the other like faster guys on YouTube and that lot, they do seem to pick up injuries, right? More frequently than some. Again, that's not, I'm not picking on an individual there, okay? I'm just saying. Because, and I feel as a coach, a lot of that is down to basically overtraining and finding that level in which volume and effort, there's the right amount. And it must be such a fine margin that if you overstep that, then you walk into injuries. I think is that fair to say, Michael, in terms of that level of performance?
Yeah, I think I've been lucky in terms of not picking up injuries, but I can pick up like illnesses. Mm. It doesn't help that I work in like a special needs school, so there's stuff going around everywhere.
Sure.
But I'm more susceptible to picking up illnesses.
Yeah, you just seem to find it must be such a hard balance for you guys and girls when you're looking to optimize everything to find that 1 second. You know, it's different necessarily for me. I'm trying to find like minutes, right? And they're a lot easier to find. Some people to find hours, you know, than to find. And again, I appreciate that it's all relative because it's all that effort all the way through, right? But you do seem to find that the guys and girls who are going at it harder and are really trying to get that final over that final barrier, they do seem to be more susceptible to injuries. I think you have one end of the scale where people are starting to get into running, and obviously they're running too fast and they're doing too much too soon and all that kind of stuff, right? But then you've got the other end of the scale, and you do seem to, you know, because I think you are literally on that red line the whole time. It must be really frustrating. And also hard to get it absolutely right.
I think for me personally, for this, I did Paris 2 weeks before London this year. And I think that was pushed me over the edge in terms of like health. That's when I picked up illnesses after Paris with all the traveling and all just that took.
Do you blame the French for that? Is that what you're saying, Michael? You blame the French for making you ill? And your bad marathon time in London? Not as good as you said called it.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't as good. But this training block was the best training block I've done.
So you
the time
Paris.
The time doesn't represent it. Again, I don't care.
Hang on a minute. Sorry, the time doesn't. That's a bit strong. You ain't getting away with that one.
I feel like I could have gone as quick as last year.
Right.
Okay. If I wasn't ill and whatever, so that's still 5 minutes. Like, again, it's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah,
like
honestly, this guy is just, I'm so glad I had him on tonight because people realize that how humble this guy is.
Before we go, we've got to mention
the fact that he not only won that 2:35 at London 2 weeks ago, he finished that, got his medal, got on the tube, come up to the 40 cheer station and cheered on all the other 40s after running a marathon like that. And that says a lot about a man. And not only that, just to put the boot in any even further, he comes out tonight and tells us his job is he works at a special needs school. Can this guy do anything wrong? This guy is just, what, you know.
He makes Hayden, honestly, look so bad. And that's why I think he should be on every week. because he makes Hayden look so bad. And although he's just blamed the French for making him ill and running a rubbish time.
I've never done that.
See if it happens to you next year.
There is that.
Yeah, you want to be careful. You're going over there.
I know. Maybe that's what their plan is. They're thinking, oh, no, I shouldn't. Okay. I'm going to get myself in a lot of trouble. Michael, what's been your highlight of being on the show tonight? Is it one of the games or is it just like hanging out?
It definitely wasn't true, false, false, true.
Wow. Maybe I'll take it all back about being a legend.
No, it's been fun. I enjoyed hanging out.
A lot of effort went into that game. Right. Ben.
5 minutes?
Yeah. Not even that. Ben, no. What's been the highlight? Staying in your chair all night?
Managing to stay upright. Yeah, absolutely.
Staying upright. And Hayden, what's been your highlight?
My highlight is probably the way you slagged off Ben's running form.
Well, I didn't slag it off. I just made an observation.
Right. Great coach, right?
Yeah, I mean, great coach. I mean, brilliant. Okay, right. So tomorrow, Hayden, where is everybody going?
Everybody tomorrow is, that I know around, are down at Bushy Park celebrating Evie's 100th park run and Sarah's 100th park run. Quite a few of us getting together down there, so it should be a good day. Good morning.
Michael, what are you up to this weekend?
I might try and get down to Exmouth park run tomorrow.
Okay. Watch out if you're planning on trying to win that one. Although park run, you don't go to win it. It's not a race.
The Exmouth course is not a fast course now.
Yeah, but what would you... Well, okay, yeah, right.
It was not a fast course.
I won't say what time I did a couple weeks ago.
No. You are going to tell us.
It was like 16:30 or something.
And that's not fast.
On a slow course.
You've got five 180 turns and lots of people.
So slow. That's why I don't go there.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
It's just absolutely a nightmare.
Went once, couldn't be doing with it.
Yeah, exactly. Ben, I don't think you've actually managed to upset anybody tonight. I think it's mainly Michael and me. And I think that's about it. So, Ben, if you're going to the Birmingham Half, make sure you look out for Ben. He's running 125, no excuses. There's anything else we need to discuss? No, we've got to give a shout out to our sponsors of Skechers. We love you very much. Thank you very much. I'm live on Monday, 8 o'clock, and I will be discussing ASICs in depth. And why I don't particularly care for them anymore. And I'll probably try and find some more people I don't like over the weekend, slack them off as well, because it doesn't really matter anymore. I don't care anymore. And I think that's about it, people. So thank you very much, Michael, for coming on. We will definitely have you back, but only when you run under 2:30, because we ain't interested until then. And I think that's it. Where's the outro? Hopefully the Wi-Fi doesn't cut out when I play the outro, because that looked bad as well. And by the way, thanks Virgin Media for all the technical support tonight. Okay, bye, everyone.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.